Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Wednesday. It's 8:04. The time is brought to you by DQE Communications. For reliable business internet, depend on DQE. We are brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Good morning to you, Fan Morning Show. Another great weather day. It's unbelievable.
Gorgeous again.
It really is. And speaking of gorgeous, we talked to our friend Ray Fittipaldi from the
Raymond?
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I don't know if anybody's ever introduced him like that, but they should more often. Ray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, guys.
Hi, Ray. Ray, answer me this. 4 o'clock this coming Sunday, we look out there, we watch Mason Rudolph. Is the playbook the same from a pass game standpoint? Does he just plug and play right into Ben Roethlisberger's role?
Yes, to a certain extent. Mike Tomlin said the personality of this offense is not going to change. Randy Fichtner spoke to this during training camp. They are not going to change their offense when Mason Rudolph, if he has to go into the game. So I think the only difference you'll see, and you know, I talked to Jalen Samuels about this the other day, the only difference you're going to see is maybe with the checks at the line of scrimmage, he was saying, you know, Ben could check to a play that they hadn't practiced all week. You know, maybe something that they hadn't even done since training camp, and Ben would check to it, and everyone would be on the same page. Mason obviously isn't going to have that type of command of the offense at this point in his career. So I think he'll probably be more limited at the line of scrimmage in terms of the check game. But I think, you know, other than that, in terms of what Randy calls, I think it'll be basically the same as to what they did with them.
Do you think they'll have a desire at all, Ray, that Randy Fichtner will have a desire specifically to perhaps insulate Mason Rudolph somewhat by increasing the commitment to the run game? Maybe not just because of Mason's lack of experience, but because of, well, they haven't committed to the run game much in the first two games.
Well, that's a good point. The run game heated up a little bit when Mason was in the game in the second half, and I don't think there's any correlation. I just think they got going a little bit. I think they had 57 of their 81 yards in the second half. And if you remember, they actually had a nice little corner run. I think it was a 10 or 11-yard run before that flea flicker. And, you know, flea flicker, of course, is just, you know, a fancy way of saying play action. So, yeah, I think they do need play action to help Mason. And I definitely think they need the running game to help Mason. You know, they're probably going to want to shorten these games. Help out the defense a little bit. Obviously, the defense hasn't been up to par here in the first two games. So, yeah, I took a look at that game. It's Connor being indecisive or missing a cut here. It's been, you know, an offensive lineman not sustaining a block here and there. I mean, it's a little bit of everything that the running game has been bad so far. And I agree with you. I think they have to get that figured out pretty quick if Mason Rudolph is going to have any success.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Does Minka Fitzpatrick get the green dot this week, Ray? I'm just kidding. But that said, I can't find one thing negative about this trade. I just can't. It seems like you drafted your first-round pick next year, and you get to bring him in right now. He's accomplished. You know what he is. You don't have to play a guessing game, and he gets to play right now.
And you're not on the hook for his bonus money, which I think is huge. You're just paying him a first-round salary, and then, you know, obviously, you know, if he's any good, they'll pick up the fifth-year option. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think the only way that this would turn out to be questioned at all is, you know, let's say the Steelers go 3-13 or 4-12, which I don't think will happen, but just let's say things go bad this year, then you're talking about a top-5 pick, and even if you have confidence that Ben's going to come back, and even if you have confidence that Mason Rudolph is going to be the guy if he doesn't, that's still a lot of draft capital that you can, you know, deal away or, you know, put into a guy who might be a difference maker, much in the same way Minka might be a difference maker, but, you know, maybe that guy would be younger at that point, and you'd obviously have more years of control. So that's the only way I don't like this trade. Listen, if they're 6-10, 7-9, and they're drafting a 12 overall, I think this is going to be a great deal as long as Minka turns out to be the real deal.
When we see him push into the defense on Sunday in San Francisco, Ray, is it in a simplified manner from what they expect him to be able to do once he's fully up to speed? And would a simplification of this defense perhaps not just help Minka Fitzpatrick, but maybe Devin Bush to an extent as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Minka's just going to play free safety in this game. As you know, he can play all over the field, and they will do that eventually with him, but not in this game against San Francisco. And, yeah, I mean, the miscommunication and sort of the guys. I mean, I remember watching the game against Seattle last week from the press box, and, you know, Mark Barron, he played the entire game, so I think he eventually took over for Vince in terms of trying to, you know, get the communication settled. And he was looking over to the sideline, waving his arms, you know, 5-10 seconds before the snap. They didn't have the play call in. So I agree with you. They're going to have to simplify things in this game just so Minka Fitzpatrick can feel comfortable. But I don't know if it's a bad idea overall just to maybe get a call in early, stick with it, even if it's vanilla. Just let your players play. Maybe they can play a vanilla defense, and maybe they can win their one-on-one battles. At this point, I'd like to know, because I don't know for sure if it's the talent on the field or if it's the lack of communication and the busts in coverage that are hampering them the most.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. I'll ask you the same question that I asked a couple other people this week. In terms of Devin Bush, did the fan base and maybe people, and by virtue of where he was drafted and trading up to get him, you expect a lot from him, you expect a lot from him early. Are we, though, missing the fact that he is going to have rookie growing pains and we are a little bit too impatient with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been evidence. And, you know, Will Dissly had those two big plays against them, against Seattle. And, you know, not only is his height an issue when he has to cover tight ends, but it didn't look like he was completely comfortable dropping into that zone and recognizing where he had to be on that one tough spot. I think the one he was in man, and he just got beat. I mean, they're going to throw it up. There's like a 6-inch height difference there. He's always going to have a tough time with that, right? But I think the other one, there were sort of three guys around the ball. Sean Davis was late coming down. I don't think that was Davis's guy. I think that was Devin Bush not, you know, recognizing quickly enough where he had to be in that zone. So, yeah, I mean, I think all those things are going to factor in. I'm not down on that pick at all. It's going to take some time, and I know we've talked about this in the past. Ryan Shazier, his rookie year, there were some hiccups. There were some growing pains. And then, you know, you saw him late in his rookie year sort of come around, and obviously by year two, year three, he was a guy who was the focal point of that defense. So I don't expect it to be much different than Devin Bush, but I do think his development is going to be accelerated now because I think Vince Williams is probably going to be out for a while with that hamstring.
Ray, let's flip back over to the other side of the ball for just a second and talk about the receiving core if we can. Talk about James Washington, I would think, his natural chemistry with Mason Rudolph from their time at Oak State together, and now here we've seen that play out in the preseason. You would think that combined with Dante Moncrief's case of the drops would clearly delineate the pecking order behind Juju now. But as far as that goes, what is the end game for Dante Moncrief as a Pittsburgh Steeler? How does he work his way back into good graces if he ever does again?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of a cryptic response yesterday when Mike Tomlin was asked about that. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN asked if he's going to have a chance to work through his issues as a member of the Steelers. And, you know, Mike basically said, we'll see. So, at this point, you haven't been able to depend on him. I don't know how you're going to put Mason in that situation where, you know, he's going to be dealing with a guy who's obviously going through some issues. So I'd like to see more of James Washington and Deontay Johnson. And if for whatever reason, injury, you know, maybe he has a couple good weeks of practice. Maybe at some point you give Moncrief another chance. But,
Yeah, maybe not. Point,
at this point, I'd maybe give him 10 snaps a game if you have to, and Just listen, Deontay Johnson is coming on. James Washington, they think, can be good. Just roll with those guys.
Yeah, maybe I'd give him a Pat bus pass and a transfer so he can get to the airport.
The old 28X.
Yeah, see you. Airport flyer. See you later. Anyway, last question for you. We always go off the board. We were talking about this in the pre-show. We're having this spaghetti breakfast. Come down and join us on Friday. I don't know if you're flying out or not to the West Coast, but we're having a spaghetti breakfast downtown as part of us and KDK AM. Spaghetti for breakfast, though. I like it cold better than hot. As a flag-flying member of Pittsburgh's Italian-American community, which you are, Ray. I'm not. You are. Have you had cold spaghetti and rigatoni for breakfast?
I have, but it's been a long time. I think that's something that you probably do when you're younger. You know, maybe get up early when you're in your 20s and do that. Now that I'm, approaching middle age here, I got to say I like my leftover pasta or my real pasta hot, my dinner. So, okay. I'm not really a cold pasta guy, but I am a cold pizza guy.
Oh, you're cold pizza in the morning.
That goes without saying, I would think.
What about meatloaf and like Easter ham and stuff? Is that better the second day, leftover form?
Oh, yeah, like turkey on town talk with gravy. The
there
day
it
after
is.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's more my speed,
Okay. All right, when are you leaving to go out to San Francisco?
We are leaving Saturday afternoon. Got to go through Denver. We're actually flying into San Jose because I think this new stadium is sort of like smack dab in the middle between San Fran and San Jose. So,
how long is your layover in Denver, if you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think it's like a 7-hour total deal, so probably a couple hours.
The higher you go, the higher you get, Ray.
That'll be fun.
Sounds like it. All right, Ray, we'll talk soon. Thank you much. We appreciate it, and have a safe trip.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Ray. Ray, no selling. He completely no sold that. References. Yes. Good job by Ray.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.